Welcome to Leadership Evolving. I'm Carlos Martin. I'm your host. My guest today is Biquita Poindexter. I love your name.
Thank you.
Founder and CEO of Poindexter Consulting Group, LLC. She is an HR powerhouse, expert witness, DEI strategist, national speaker, and one of those rare leaders who brings both compassion and command to complex work challenges. Biquita, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Carlos. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's so many things that I want to talk about. My first question to you is, when you talk into an organization facing serious workplace challenges, what do you usually see before, you know, anyone else says it out loud?
I think one of the initial challenges that we see is the team dynamics, right? So when we're looking at, you know, navigating through some complexities of challenges within the organization, always starts with your people. And I always tell leadership, you know, your people are your greatest asset. You take care of your people, they take care of the business. If you don't, they sue you, they shut it down, they create problems and challenges. So it's always the people.
Okay. What else can you tell me about the people? So what are some of those challenges? So I'm with you, I get it. So what are some of those challenges that people might see?
So when you start to see it, the first thing I tell employers or leaders is start to look at their attendance, right? Are they showing up? How are they showing up? What's their moods like? A good leader will do check-ins with their team, right? You check in with them, hey, not from an operations perspective, not a job performance, because people want to know you care about them. Mm-hmm. Like, you genuinely care about them. They're not employees, they're part of your team. Now listen, I'm a huge sports fan, so I always look at, and the reason why I talk about sports is because it's a team. With the exception of golf, there's no I in team. Mm-hmm. And so your team is a reflection of your leadership. So are you checking in with them? Like, how is your day? How are things going? So for example, my team, I know exactly what's going on with them every day. I know how many kids they have, how many marriages they've had. Not that there's been a lot, but just for the sake of this conversation. I know, you know, wedding plans. I know how they were proposed to, you know, wedding dates, you know, challenges with kids. Because I generally care about my employees. My employees, on the flip side of that, goes to the ends. They will go to the end of the earth for me. They will say, "I got it," and I'm like, "Okay, what? I got it." And so, your team members have to know that you genuinely care about them as people, not just as performers. And so that shows up in attendance. That shows up in work. That shows up in conversations. Communications will begin to decrease. Their whole overall demeanor will change. And sometimes it may not have anything that's going on within the workplace. It's sometimes this thing called life that people are trying to navigate through, because it's challenging. But a good leader will know what their employees are going through.
You are speaking my language as a coach. And yes, I agree with you with all of the above. I think it's a fantastic formula. But
there's always a but.
Right there. We don't see it enough. It's kind of frowned upon, to your saying. You know what they're doing on a personal level, the weddings and all that. And I love that. And that was my leadership approach. But more often than not, that's frowned upon. You're not supposed to have, they're not friends, they're just worker bees.
Sure.
So tell us a little bit more about how you can, if you're working with an individual, what people should do to kind of change that narrative.
Right, so employees are people too, right? They're going through the same life challenges that you as a leader have gone through, or that I have gone through. And if I want my employees to be vested and be with me for a long period of time, I need to be genuine and authentic and real about how I show up for them. And just for me personally, I'm not doing that from a place of, oh, I just want them to be the best performers. I do that because I genuinely care about the people. Mm-hmm. And so one, my last name is in my brand, in my company information. And so I want to make sure that the people are showing up for me are actually want to be there, like the work that we do, will do it by any means necessary. My team is not the ones that are ready to get off the clock, right? And so you have little core signals or triggers, so to speak, that you see that will show up in the workplace. Mm-hmm. You have to pay attention to it. Now, the second part of that particular question, HR is very complex, right? We're in multiple states, California being one of the most complex. And so, yes, sometimes it is frowned upon about, okay, you can't talk about this, oh, you can't talk about this, oh, you can't talk about that. It's illegal to ask this, it's illegal to do this, it's illegal to do that. I'm more concerned about, is it morally and ethically correct? Mm-hmm. And so me showing an employee that I genuinely care about them, there's not a problem with that.
Yeah.
But it can't be a one-off, right? It has to be consistent. And so, you know, every day I check in with my team and I'm so laser focused on them until I know when they're off. And I'm like, okay, let's stop. I don't care what we're talking about. We will stop right in the middle of talking about a major client issue. What's going on with you?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're not healthy and whole, then they're not going to do the best work that they could possibly do. So I need them to be healthy and whole. And if I still don't think they're good, you go take the rest of the day off. Go get recentered. Let me know what you need, but I need you to go take care of you.
I'm smiling because you're taking me back several years ago when I used to do that. And it's just, it's kind of a simple formula, right? I'm calling it a formula, right? But it's a little more complex, but it's simple, but we want it complicated. But it's bringing the humanity back into it, like right. we were talking about. But again, I see leaders, you know, where like, no, we got to keep those relationships outside. They're not friends. Now, I want to, you mentioned HR, that's the world that you live in. I feel, and you tell me if I'm correct or wrong here, I feel like there is a little bit of HR is not on my side the way yeah. that they think they are.
Sure.
Because now they're on the company HR. And I've worked in California for many years, so I understand. And,
sure.
California, it's a different thing, not good or bad. But I noticed that me working with HR as a leader, even myself felt, and some of the employees felt like, I'm secondary
mm-hmm.
when it comes to the company. The company is first,
sure.
I come next. Tell us sure. a little bit. I know it's a complex question, but tell us a little bit more about that.
It can be. And one of the things I say is perception is not always reality, right? Mm-hmm. But we have to deal with people in their reality. And so you will see that in all of our marketing information and how I deal with my clients, we are HR. Because I will never remove the human, which is the first letter in H, out of the aspect. The second word is resources. I'm providing resources. So I'm not into all these fancy titles. Oh, the chief people officer or this. I don't have to prove that this is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
When I talk to our clients, when I'm trying to, you know, help C-suite leaders to be able to understand, you cannot remove the human element out of it. And so when it comes to the employees, I tell the employees the same thing because, you know, they'll see me coming like, okay, Vaquita's here. Somebody's getting fired. Nobody's getting fired. Everybody
yeah.
calm down because that's the narrative. That's the perception.
Yeah.
It's not reality,
mm-hmm.
but I know that I have to deal with that particular reality. So I just have conversations with employees. But I also take time to get to know employees. So one of the core things that we do within our firm is when we take on a new client, I literally go on site and I spend time with the employees.
Mm.
And I get to see sweet lass. Because I want employees to see me. I want them to have their own perception. First impression is what I'm trying to say of us as HR.
That's
I want
huge.
To walk it. I want, what do you do on a daily basis? What do you find most rewarding? What's more challenging? I'm having conversations with the employees. And it's not just a one-off, right? If I will periodically just show up at a client and just kind of go walk around talking to employees. There's always some bad apples, right? But you don't throw away the whole bunch. You pick out those apples and you toss them away. There have been some HR professionals that didn't carry themselves in the manner that we would deem appropriate for our industry.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to protect the company, but in protecting the company, it's protecting the employees as well.
So what I'm hearing, it's a little bit of both and opposed to or.
Right.
It doesn't have to be the company or the employees.
Correct.
It's the company and the employees, and right. I love that. And I really like the fact that you're going in and creating the rapport
right.
to say, I'm here with you. I'm with them as well, with the company.
Right.
And that's something that is very, I find it's critical, but also very important for the employees to feel seen and to feel heard, especially like you said, here comes HR.
Right.
Someone's getting fired.
Somebody's getting fired.
Someone's getting fired. So what has your career taught you about the difference between being kind and being soft as a leader?
Sure. So, and that's a really good question. Anybody knows me knows I'm far from soft, but I'm extremely kind, you know? And so you can be kind and still be firm. You can be kind and still, create structure. You can be kind. Kindness is how you deal with people. And whether it's in my personal life or my professional life, I always strive to be kind.
Mm.
Now, don't take my kindness for a weakness because I'm not soft, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very direct, I'm very straight to the point. I'm not one of those warm and fuzzies, you know? And some people say, oh, or you're just not nice. No, my job is not to be nice, my job is to be kind.
Mm.
And so you can be kind, you can be firm, you can, you know, I do separate employment. Right, I do terminate people from their positions, but I do it with grace and humility. I try to leave the person whole as I exit them out. Because again, as a team, you just may not be a great player on this team, or your assignment on this team is over. And assignments don't last 20 or 30 years like they used to. And sometimes holding an employee in a position where they're not thriving or excelling is doing the employee an injustice as well. Because now we need to release them from that assignment so that they can get onto what they are really called to be doing at that trajectory of their particular career path. Mm. So that's probably where I would say the difference of the two kind of intersect. Kindness is just a way of life for me. Soft, maybe not. People say, well, you could be a little bit more softer. Okay, well, this is who she is, right? Yeah. But I'm extremely kind. I think that's the difference between the two.
I like that separation and those two pillars. I think they're extremely important. Now, I want to go back to the HR and the perception.
Sure.
Now, we talk about perception or reality, and I've seen both, where HR could be very cold, because I've been in the room in regards to, Bob, we're going to have to let you go. Mm-hmm. Here you go. Thank you.
Right.
It is something that I cannot do, but I also seen the other side of HR where you say to bring the kindness and to be able to say, look, I'm sorry, this is, like you said, you know, not necessarily the bad apple kind of conversation. Tell us a little bit more about that. Do you feel that you're competing with that? And again, I'm not picking on the HR, but I know that was a big one for me when I worked in corporate. Not on a little bit on the personal level, but more for my employees, mm-hmm. right? So I want to talk a little bit about that for our audience in regards to the quote unquote coldness. Like you said, we have to not necessarily soft, but firm. But also that HR individuals that are just like, wow, like, can you just land it a little bit softer?
Yeah, and I think people have to also, you know, put themselves in other people's positions. You know, I've been an employee, and so I understand what that's like, and I never relinquished the thought of being an employee. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, earlier on in my career, I was considered the Terminator, because I would come in and I would just drop the hammer. And I was like, I really don't like that perception. That's not reality. Yeah. But I had to figure out a way how to process it emotionally and mentally, because you're not just separating somebody's employment. You're changing their financial status within the organization.
Yes.
You're cutting off their benefits. They may have their kids and their families on health insurance. You know, having a child with medical challenges, I understand the importance of having health insurance. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to make sure that I wasn't falling into that same particular stereotype that we're talking about. So for me, it is, okay, timing is crucial, because for me, it's always this question, what is the determining factor that's causing us to separate this employment today? And if you, C-suite leader, CEO, can't give me a definitive answer, then I'm not doing it. Mm. That's just the bottom line. Like, I will tell my clients no.
I like that.
And so now my job is to make recommendations. You can either take my recommendation or not take it. And if you choose not to take them too frequently, then I'm going to choose for you not to be my client, because I got to operate with ethics and integrity. Because for me, when I lay my head down at night, I got to know that I'm good.
I love that. I can see that softness and the kindness. But at the same time, like, look, we're here. This is still a corporation,
right?
You know. But I love that you still talk to the C-suite. It's like, what is the reason? It's not right. Just let's just let them go.
Right.
We're going to continue this conversation right back, and don't go anywhere with Leadership Evolving. Welcome back to Leadership Evolving. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV show, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media app on Roku or iOS and unlock the nonstop bilingual programming in English or Espanol. On the move, sure, why not? Catch the podcast version on Now Media TV, from business to news to lifestyle, culture, and way more, way beyond. Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. So let's get back into this, because I'm loving this conversation. I feel like I could talk to you for hours. HR to coach, and I feel like that is a very symbiotic relationship. So why, I want to go into the CEO world. Why should CEOs and founders stop treating HR as administrative and start treating it as a leadership infrastructure?
That's a really good question, because HR is a part of your leadership team, whether it's outsourced or internal. And so we're not just paper pushers, facilitators. We're just not, you know, processing payroll.
Horrible.
It does, right?
Yeah.
We are, you know, I always say we're the backbone of the organization, right? We keep the people connected. We keep, you know, conflict down. We help build the culture within the organization. We make recommendations on the things that I think are very important for the organization to do. We're there when the employees are having a crisis, whether it is, you know, life or death, whether it's bereavement, whether, you know, they need a leave of absence, reasonable accommodations. We're helping them navigate through that. So we're not just handling all of the administrative functions. Yes, we do a lot of that. But we are literally, I like to say, one of your strongest coaches on your particular team to ensure that we keep everybody connected together. Mm. You got to have a good offense and got to get a, have to have a good defense, right? And we play a role on each side.
Yeah, back to the sports
back
analogy.
Back to the sports.
I like that. So you mentioned, or we were talking about HR, not only as, well, not only the paper pusher up, but the administrative, but also on the leadership. That is a world that I live in and I work with HR. But I feel that at least some of the companies, they don't really emphasize on the leadership part of it or what they do, but they're not necessarily bringing in the tools, the programs. What are you seeing out there? One is that accurate? And the second one is when you're looking at a company or working with a company that they're bringing in leadership, what does that look like?
Sure. So it's a couple of things, right? I think when you're talking about your leadership and your leadership team, right? Again, this is your team, mm-hmm. you know, offense and defense. And so what's going to help build your infrastructure? A good CEO will know their strengths and their weaknesses. I don't like that term. I like more their strengths and their challenges, right? And they have a tendency to focus on the weaknesses and how to change those, where I have a different narrative. Focus on your strengths and hire somebody to complement your weaknesses. Yeah. Okay, so now you're more balanced. Mm-hmm. The other piece to that is allow your C-suite leaders to lead. We don't manage, we lead. We manage projects, we lead people. So you have to shift the mindset and shift how you're thinking about how you do things within your particular organization. I don't care whether you have 1 or 2,000 employees or 25,000. You don't manage people, you lead people. So that's number two. I think the other piece of it too is you really have to get more vested into your employees, because if you don't, then employees, this new generation of employees, they're not sticking around. They're coming in with questions and, you know, they have, I graduated from college, I needed to be the vice president within X amount of time. It's like, okay, well, I'm gonna need you to slow down just a little bit. You got to learn how people's style of communication, because with social media, communication is becoming a lost art. So we have tools that we put in place from onboarding on. My personal philosophy and what I've instilled in my clients over the last 26 years is we hire slow, but we fire fast, right? And your 90-day introductory period, you know, in California is introductory, in some other states is probation. I like introductory because probation sounds punitive.
Yeah.
So we're introducing you to the company. You are introducing yourself to the company. And now we're just trying to see if it's a good fit. And if it's not, it's okay. So we have those things in place. We do personality assessments because we want to learn how people communicate. What's their style of leadership? Most people don't even know their leadership style. They don't even know their communication style. The other piece to it is we want to create a plan for promoting from within. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just, I was having a conversation with a leader recently, and we had done all of these interviews for some external candidates, only you got a great candidate right in front of us. And they couldn't see it. And it took going through this entire process for me, complete waste of time, because I said, this is the candidate, right? For them to get to the point where this is the candidate. I'd said that like 2 months prior, it took them a minute to get there, but at the end of the day, I had to give this particular CEO patience and grace for them to get there, because the outcome is what I wanted. Mm-hmm. So I think when you strategically put these things in place, you can start to see a better outcome. One of the things that HR professionals need to be is they have to be a little bit more vocal. But I will say, I just do things a little differently. I'll tread into territories where most HR people won't. Right, it's because I'm very vested into the client and into the people. And so I've had employees come back and say, I've never experienced HR like this. They have the negative perception that you had. And so I'm really trying to work with leaders to shift that, especially HR professionals, to shift that narrative.
Okay, I wanna dive a little bit deeper on the vocal side. But before we do that, because there's a lot of layers to that sandwich, which I love. You talk about the communication style or the leadership style. And that is something that I see way too often that they don't have.
Sure.
And it's like saying, how do we lead people before you really get to know you? And that's very difficult to do. So what do you, and again, you can only control what you control, but why is it that companies are not investing enough just to get the basics out of the way?
Sure.
Right, and we're talking about, okay, know yourself, how do you lead, what's your communication style, are you a fiery red or a sunshine yellow, whatever you're going to be getting. But I realize that not many people do that, or if they do, it's just a check mark, that's it, and nobody uses it. So again, when I see that, it's like, oh, that drives me a little bonkers. I know you can control what you control, but tell us a little bit more about that. What is the hesitation? Maybe it's lack of investment, or maybe companies just don't see it as a big investment?
I think most companies don't know what to do. Mm. And then the HR professionals are so bombarded, right? I mean, we're trying not to deal with employees like square pegs and trying to plug them into these holes.
Yeah.
They're trying to process payroll, make sure benefits are done, deal with workers' compensation issues and workers' compensation claims. They're trying to hire. They're trying to do 360 reviews. They're trying to, so they have a lot, HR professionals have a lot on their plate. And so when there is pushback from organizations, some HR professionals are like, that's fine, I'll navigate it a different way. I, on the other hand, I'm like, no, we need to tackle this right from the very beginning. And so any organization that I come into, I will do an Enneagram assessment with whoever I'm working with, because I need to know your style of communication and you need to know mine. Again, being kind, but, you know, I'm an 8 for any of those individuals that know Enneagram, very direct, straight to the point.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to know who I'm dealing with, because if I'm hiring a 2, that's probably, or dealing with a 2, that's probably not going to work. Right. Not that their, you know, that their assessment doesn't work out. It's just their style of communication is different than mine. And the same identical thing for when I hire individuals that come to work for me after an offer is extended, is contingent on, I need to know what your style of communication is, you know. And so then that helps me to know how to communicate with them. I'm one of those individuals that I like to listen and understand. Right. I can't have somebody that I'm dealing with that only listens to respond. Drives me up the wall. And so I think for organizations, it's an investment. It's not only a time investment, and they're looking for, I need to kind of get somebody up and going like immediately. And that's unrealistic expectations for an employee. So it's literally shifting the mindset of the organization's leadership, CEO, all the way down to say, one, here's why this investment is beneficial. This is your turnover and this is the cost. And I show them the bottom line. Because what do CEOs and CFOs want to see? Bottom lines.
Line, yeah.
So this costs you X amount of dollars versus if you do this and you do this, then this is what you'd be spending. Now let's weigh it out. Your turnover rate is here.
Yeah.
This will help create retention. And so when you're talking about turnover, it's just not on, you know, benefits and things like that. It is, there's a certain time that you have to be able to, a learning curve for an employee to come in and learn about your organization and what you do.
Mm. Wow. That sounds, and I've known this about HR because I work with HR and I still do on a different level, excuse me. And I know you do this for a living. It sounds like a lot for one consultation, one organization or one department to be taken care of.
Sure.
I wonder, should it be broken down a little bit more to be more effective? Because as I'm hearing you, it's like, that is a lot of moving parts. It's like getting marketing and sales in the same department. I'm like, we got to separate that, or operations. Is from a personal level, from when you see HR, should there be a little bit of separation, or maybe having a different way of looking at this?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, true HR professionals have managed the ability, number one, for time management and how to prioritize things that come to surface, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't think so. Let me just speak for my firm. So my team, they have their own areas of specialty, right? I have one that's just the administrator, like she handles all the administrative functions. I have my payroll specialist. That's all she does is payroll. Don't call her about benefits because she's not going to be able to answer that. Don't call my, you know, HR coordinator about, well, she's knowledgeable about all areas, but don't get into the weeds with her about taxes because she's not going to understand that. My technical writer has no clue about some of the HR compliance laws.
Mm-hmm.
And so And that's just a brief synopsis. So I think that within organizations, you need to, number one, you need to take your time and do your due diligence when bringing on an HR professional. And typically where you see the fall comes is, oh, I'm going to hire this person, not hire, I'm going to promote this person into this role. They've been with the company a long time. They're dedicated, they're loyal, and then they throw them into an HR position, and it's not fair to the employee, and it's going to cripple your organization, because compliance in HR is so tricky. There's so many, as you indicated, moving parts.
Yeah.
And so typically if you're going to have internal, you need to probably have a benefits and comp person, depending upon the size, because that's ever evolving. So it all depends on the structure, the corporate structure of the organization.
Thank you for that. It helps me understand, because that's not the world that I lived in. I work with, but not that I lived. So it's almost looking at it, let's look at the HR as a big umbrella and then separate that.
Right.
And like you said, let's leave them to deal with certain right. tasks. And where I've seen companies get in a little trouble when you have that one person go back and forth and maybe not the effectiveness. But I think this is really important, because I think every company, I think, need, or I think by law have HR, I don't know. But to be able to have that great information. Thank you so much. Well, Bria, back. I want to go a little bit more. You said we need to be more, or that you are more vocal. I want to hear more about that. Sure. When we wrap back. Don't go anywhere. Leadership Evolving. Stay tuned. And we are back with Leadership Evolving. I'm your host, Carlos Martin. And we have, yet again, Vaquita here. And if the audience wants to know a little bit more about you, your company, where can they find all this valuable information?
Sure. So you can reach out to us at pcghr.net. That is Poindexter Consulting Group, hr.net. Or you can find me at vaquitapoindexter.com, LinkedIn, and all of your social media platforms.
Fantastic. All right. You left us with a cliffhanger on the on the next one. And we were just talking a little bit offline a bit is, I felt that I understood HR, but the reality is that I didn't, and I still really don't. I understood it from an outsider perspective. And right now you mentioned you being vocal or being vocal as an HR. Tell us more about that and what that looks like, because I agree with you. I feel like there's still a disconnect between HR and the power, the responsibility of HR, but they're kind of, in my personal experience, have kind of stayed in the background. So what does that vocal mean to you?
Sure. So HR is very, we're your partners in this business, right? And so we're a partner with you to ensure that, number one, you're compliant, making sure that, I like to call it the three C's, communication, consistency, and compliance.
Mm.
Okay? And you can't have one without the other. And so, and we're shifting the narrative of HR. You know, so, I mean, I've been in HR for over 40 years. Wow, I'm really dating myself. But the way HR was 26 years ago is a different.
So you started HR when you were five.
Yeah. Let's say two. And so it's different now. And so your HR is your partner in navigating through some of these complexities. Because for my firm, we stay abreast of the law, so you don't have to. Mm-hmm. So you can focus on the operational piece of it. So when I talk about being vocal, I'm very vocal in with my clients or any platform that I'm sitting on when I'm talking about HR policies and procedures. One is, I will never be the one that says, I know your operational business, and so don't come to me and say you know the HR business, because you don't. You may have dibbled and dabbled with it because you were forced to. But if I start quoting labor codes, are you going to know what that means? And you're going to be like, no. So I kind of, in a very nice and polite and kind way, stay in your lane and let me stay in mine. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to come and talk about anything else other than my areas of expertise, which is why you brought me on board. So when we're talking about in-house HR, it's the same identical thing. They're more ingrained in making sure that on a day-to-day basis, everything, that the ship is still running smooth. So they may have more knowledge from an operational perspective, but they're still more focused on making sure that they operate from those three C's and being that neutral party for the organization and the employees. So it doesn't create that negative stereotype as, oh, you're just the company man, or you're just the company woman, or you don't care about me, you're just for the company. And so we have to shift the mindset of the employees as well. And you only do that by spending time, having communications, and things like that. So that's when I say I'm vocal, I'm very vocal with my clients. I have a mandatory meeting with my CEOs every week. I talk about what's working, what's not working. I'm part of the decision-making process when they're talking about performance improvement plans, if they're talking about disciplinary actions. I might disagree with it. You may send me a PIP and I'm like, I don't like the language in here. This sounds a little abrupt or harsh. Mm-hmm. You can deliver this with some more grace. So those are some of the things that I say I'm very vocal. And when I have a conversation, I do a consultation that's free because I need to make sure it's a good fit, right? Mm-hmm. With whoever I'm working with, especially I work mostly with CEOs.
Okay.
So especially with the CEOs. And it's like, okay, listen, this is how I operate. Is that going to present a challenge for you? Because if you're looking to change what you're doing, then we can do that. If you're looking to do the same thing, this is probably not going to be a good fit. Mm. I want to enhance your organization. Fix the problem, because the majority of the clients we have, we're dealing with problems. So I'm like the fire captain, right? I got my team, let's put out this fire and let's get the structure built the correct way so the fire doesn't come back.
Mm.
So that's kind of how I look at it. We're your partner in managing and overseeing your HR department.
Okay. You're like the lifeline of a company, it sounds like. You said there's a lot of issues with companies. You come in, and if you want to do the same thing, then I'm not your person.
Right.
What are the top three things that you're seeing that companies are doing wrong or not doing that you're like, okay, we got it. We got to go back to the basics. What are the top three things that you're seeing in companies out there?
Sure. One, managing by fear and intimidation.
So like the old school way.
Of
Jack Welch, you know, with General.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So we still see that. We see, two, a lack of leadership skills and ability.
Okay.
Because just because you're a good performer doesn't make you a good leader.
Mm-hmm.
So that. And then number...
Look at Michael Jordan.
Right.
Great performer.
Right.
You saw him as a coach. He's probably... Him and Magic Johnson,
worst
they're probably
coaches.
One of the worst coaches
right.
ever.
Right.
Yes.
And those are perfect examples, and those are examples that I will use as well. I love the Dallas Cowboys. Anybody that knows me knows I love the Dallas Cowboys. Right, I got to look at your leadership and your ownership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we haven't been back to the Super Bowl for what reason? Well, you know, you got to know your lane and to stay in it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be the CEO, the HR, the offense, the defense, the benefit. You cannot do it all. And we have this mentality that we can. You have to trust the people that you put in leadership, which brings me to, I don't know, third or fourth, a lack of trust.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't trust your leaders, that's a problem. So there's been times that we've come in and we've cleaned house, like cleaned it completely.
Mm.
I mean, we literally put the business on pause, clean it up. Now they're very, very successful.
Yeah, it's probably just better just to
clean
that up. You. I want to go back to something we had in our last segment and just kind of stayed with me in regards to hiring with them. I'm dealing with a company right now. And they're hiring outside, and it's creating a lot of turmoil with the employees.
Sure.
Because again, they're like, "What about us?"
Right.
And tell us a little bit of what goes through the company's operation, vision, brain to say we have a problem, we got to get people. But then I know these individuals are amazing leaders, but they're overseeing. I don't know what the hidden agenda, what that could be.
Typically, when you see that you have an internal team that you can promote from within, but they are consistently going outside of the organization mm-hmm. to hire, one is a trust issue.
Mm.
Two, that employee may or may not have done something previously that the leaders can't get past. You know, maybe they had some attendance problems or maybe something happened where they don't trust the employee to be able to take on the task. Three, they don't think the employee is qualified. Well, you don't know they're qualified because you won't give them opportunity.
Yeah.
And what they fail to understand is this. It takes more time to hire and indoctrinate somebody into the community, right? Into the culture.
The culture,
versus
yeah.
taking an existing employee that's been with you 2, 3 to 4 years. That shows that they're vested because they wouldn't be sticking around. And to train them on specifically what it is that they need. That enhances your culture. So I think a lot of times it's those three or four components that I just mentioned. Number one, it's always a lack of trust. Two, can they really do the job? Okay, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know,
yeah,
so to speak. So
yeah.
You know what you have with this individual. You know the challenges and you know the obstacles. That may shift if you give this person the opportunity versus you're gonna hire somebody brand new who has no idea about the organization, no idea about the culture, and you're going to take a gamble. Not a gamble I'm willing to take.
Yeah. That reminds me, I was working with the VP, and we needed to hire more of my title, and he wanted to bring people from outside. And I said, you know, I could tell you two or three that are amazing candidates.
Right.
In his words, yeah, you're right. But I want to bring in new blood, because the way that he saw it, he needed to challenge the people and get an outside perspective. And unfortunately, I agreed with that to a certain extent. I think there is that balance to say, yeah, they know the culture. This is great. But sometimes bringing in a different perspective, that works sometimes. But I know that's kind of a little tricky. What can you tell us about that?
It can work sometimes, but it also can backfire. Because what will happen is, while you're trying to get a new perspective, which you could get from existing employees, right? If given the opportunity, oftentimes when I do exit interviews for employees, it's they're constantly hired from within. I had the same identical ideas. I brought this to leadership or management. They didn't want to listen, right? And so then that creates a challenge. And typically what happens is, you consistently do that, these employees are creating an exit strategy. So now you're hiring for this particular position because you want fresh ideas, but you also better think about, you better hire for these other ones because they're going to be leaving as soon as they find something better.
Yeah.
Great ideas and new perspectives are great, but you can do that with your internal team. Just because they've been with you, you know, 2, 10, 20 years, doesn't mean that they don't have fresh ideas. Maybe you just haven't put them in a position to explain or explore those with you.
Okay, so it sounds like it's a lot more complex than we think, and that we give credit to HR, and it sounds like communication is a big part of it, getting to know your team, talking to, like you said, the C-suite and exactly what they want, and kind of putting all the cards on the table to say what's working, what's not, what do we need to do. And it's not as easy as just, sure, let's hire within from outside. It's having that strategy.
Right.
It sounds like a little bit more.
You definitely have to be a strategist in HR, right? And I think that's the difference between some HR professionals, is they're not creating strategies for the organization to help them become successful. Mm-hmm. The other piece to it is, you've got some individuals that are C-suite and CEO leaders that are operating from a place of brokenness, right? And so they've got some places in their life that they haven't dealt with, which is showing up in how they lead, which is a big challenge that we're seeing nowadays. And so broken people hurt broken people. And so there's an issue or a situation that happened to them years ago, and then they see a similar behavior in somebody else, and now that person is blacklisted from here to eternity.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as I step more into coaching C-suite and executive leadership, so that they understand your team is a reflection of your leadership, I'm gonna say this 100 times, is because no matter how you show up, that's your team. That's your legacy in this particular position. Mm-hmm. So what do you want your legacy to be as the CEO of this organization with the team that you have? You can go to the draft and you can go draft some more players, but at the end of the day, are they gonna stick around because you're still the same person? Or are you doing everything that you can to be the best leader that you can be for your team? See, a good leader is not thinking about themselves, they're thinking about the team. And they're equipping their team to be successful, not equipping themselves.
Yeah. Wow, I feel like I feel like we could end it right there. That was great. So if you're a CEO, you're in the C-suite, ask yourself, are you broken? If you are, that's okay.
That's
why we have coaches and HR to get us, because we don't have to have all the answers. But I really love that perspective. Like you said, it's like, it's if you are broken, that's okay, but you might hire broken people.
Right.
I love that. With that said, we'll be right back. That's, again, another cliffhanger for you folks on our next session. This is Leadership Evolving. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back to Leadership Evolving. I'm Carlos Martin, your host. Now, stay connected to Leadership Evolving and everywhere Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS, and unlock the nonstop bilingual programming in English and in Espanol. On the move, sure, why not? Catch the podcast version at nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and way beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. So let's get back into it, Vikita. When you think about the future of work, what kind of leadership do organizations need more urgently right now?
Well, I think when we took a commercial break, one of the things I was talking about is, you know, leaders being broken. Let me just be real specific when I talk about that. And I'm not talking about broken as a glass is being broken. I'm saying there's things that they have not dealt with within the trajectory of their life, whether it's past leaderships, leaders that they've had, bad experiences or whatever. This thing called life will give you challenges, and you will typically show up based off of some of these other areas, whether it's, you know, parental challenges that you had, you know, ex-wives, ex-husbands, all of it shows up in your leadership.
Let's not talk about ex-wives. You're getting an internal trigger.
That's okay. That's okay. but I think that is part of it. I think the other two is biases, you know, unconscious biases. You know, all leaders have them. All individuals have unconscious biases, whether they want to believe it or not. So, for example, we're talking about the workplace now. You've got baby boomers and Gen X's that are living longer, and they're not interested in retiring. And then you have the whole AI craze, right? And so you take a baby boomer or Gen X, they don't know anything about AI, and most people stay away from things that they don't know.
Yeah.
A good leader would be like, listen, I'm not trying to learn it all. I need to have some knowledge, but let me hire people that can speak to, you know, each generation. So, you know, ageism, for example, within the workplace is really kind of escalating. And so you've got the Gen Zs who, you know, they graduate from college and they want to be presidents of a university immediately. I know I have one, right? and I'm like,
we need a reality check.
I checked him, like, no, that's not how this works, right? You know, but they have their own particular mindset, which I can really appreciate. And then you have baby boomers who are in the workplace that are staying there longer, who are very methodical because this has worked in their particular time period. And then you've got millennials, and millennials are a little different. It's the millennials with kids and millennials without kids. Mm. The millennials with kids are a little bit more stable, a little bit more grounded because they got little ones to take care of and they didn't realize it was so expensive. The ones without kids are like, they will change their job every 6 months to a year, not understanding that this really doesn't look good on your CV.
Yeah.
So what I tell leaders, you know, especially C-suite and CEOs, is incorporate them all into the workplace because everybody can learn from everybody else. Everyone brings a different, you know, skill set to the table. This creates a dynamic team. If everybody looks like you, talks like you, and walks like you, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Your employee base, your employee base, your teams need to be a reflection of your customer base. Mm-hmm. Not all your customers are 20 and not all of them are 70.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to reach a different population, then where do you start? With your actual team.
Yeah, it's almost like having a diversified portfolio, right? You can't just invest in AI or Bitcoin, whatever it is, if anybody's still investing on that. But to be able to have a diversified portfolio on their individuals, I love where this is going. Now, right now that you mentioned, you know, the young folks coming in, well, they might come in with the technical experience of AI, or they're quicker at technology, maybe some of the us, like old school people, but we have the inner wisdom.
Right.
We've been through some ups and downs.
Right.
We have some of the leadership. What is a good way to incorporate those two? Because I think that could be a very symbiotic relationship. From the HR perspective, maybe from a C-suite CEO perspective, to say, I want to get the best of both worlds.
Sure.
I want to get the leaders, that the seasoned players that have been here, I want them to be seen and heard because they bring value. These folks bring technology, but not a lot of leadership just yet because they're still new. But with that, what is a good way to bring that together?
Well, back in the day, we used to call it trainer-trainer. Right.
Yes,
so
yes.
We just need to come up with a different terminology for it. But I call those in-house peer advisory groups. Right. And so maybe you'll have a technical one because you got to know AI. I don't care how old you are. Listen, my 4-year-old granddaughter can do stuff on the computer that I'm like, it's fascinating. And she's four.
Yes.
It's like these kids now come out of the womb knowing how to swipe.
I know. I've seen my little nieces.
Just swiping.
You're 1 year old. You're already swiping. How does that even work?
It is. It's so funny. I was talking to my granddaughter last night. I was like, oh, you're on the computer. She's like, no, I'm on the iPad. Excuse me, Buttercup. I didn't know that I need to be so technical with you. But she's four. And so I say that to say you have these kids, these young adults that are coming in and they have all of this technical experience. And then you have, you know, the more mature, I'd never say old because I am in that category, that more mature generation that needs to learn from that. We have the wisdom and we have the life experience. They have the technical. That's a recipe for a good cake.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But they don't know it. I mean, the more mature understands it, they're a little fearful of the AI and stuff like that. I mean, just think about when cell phones came out and trying to teach, you know, them how to do that. Now they're a whiz at that. And now you have the, you know, the younger generation that needs to have that more wisdom so they understand that you're not going to go from college graduate, to CEO overnight. And to really kind of work with them. And I think also with the family structure being fractured as it is nowadays, to have those mentors and those peer advisory groups within the workplace helps provide both parties, both segments of individuals, the ability to connect and have what's longing and missing that they may be experiencing in their personal lives. Mm. And it really shows up in work.
You mentioned train the trainer, and I've seen that. I see that now, and I saw it when I was in corporate. And many, many times is, and I'm asking you so we could bring some exposure to this, sure. Is that it's not done, I want to say correctly, but right. Effectively. Mm-hmm. Where they bring someone, maybe seasoned, but it's not a good connection.
Correct.
When we talk about communication, personality, or they might say, okay, you've been in this company for 15 years, here comes a new person, you take it on, and the person's like, wait, what? I don't even want to do this, I'm good at it. And I see that way too often. You as an HR individual, tell us a little bit more about that. What is the best way to do this? And not, again, not just to do a checklist, because I've seen it. It's good to have it,
sure.
But it's not effective.
That's where you use your HR professional. Your HR professional is, you know, if she's ingrained within the organization, he or she is ingrained within the organization, mm-hmm. They know the people. You know the strength, you know the weaknesses. I mean, you're the one reviewing the 360 evaluations and performances. You're the one that's assisting with making recommendations on whether or not they should get raises, raises and bonuses. You are the one that knows whether they've had any kind of challenges. You know if they have any personal challenges. And so I think that individual is the core component of that. That individual then can find outsourced individuals. You can create a training program within the organization to be able to help the younger, the generation, the technical ones, train the more mature individuals on how to use AI and how to use Salesforce, or how to use all these different particular platforms that they may be fearful of using. And that's just, fear comes from a lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. On the flip side of that, you have individuals that need that extra wisdom and guidance that just naturally flows from, you know, more mature. We are ingrained, you know, the more mature generation, just to provide wisdom to young people. That's mm-hmm. just who we are, right? Mm-hmm. That's just one of the blessings and benefits from being born in that particular area. You just have to be able to get them to see that that's the benefit. So create it within the organization. I think the other piece is select two or three people to say, hey, would you like to be involved? People love getting involved, being creative. Yes. They want to feel like they own something instead of just being told what to do. And then give it to them and let them own it. Now, help them and making sure that it's compliant.
Yeah.
And they're not talking about something they shouldn't be talking yeah. about. But give them the grace to be able to create it. That's huge. We've seen a huge turn in organizations when we allow employees to volunteer to do things. They've started book clubs. They get together. They read books on things that are prevalent within the workplace. How do we communicate, you know, better to understand and not responding? So I think that's a good way to be able to do it. We're so quick to be able to go find, let me go find this person that has that area of expertise, when you have the expertise already in-house.
Yeah, I like that, the volunteer opposed to the voluntold.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as I work with seasoned players, I'm noticing a pattern. They want to give back. A lot of them do want to give back, but again, going back to this person's been here for a long time, being voluntold, opposed to who wants to be part of this right. program. And I bet you're going to get a lot of people.
Right.
But again, it seems very simple to us, you and I, as we're talking about it. But more often than not, that's not the case.
Yeah, it is simple. And the reason why it's not the case, because like Nike, nobody is just doing it, right? I tell people all the time, just do it,
yeah.
right? I mean, it's not like you haven't heard no before.
Mm-hmm.
So throw it out there, ask, oftentimes organizations are looking for somebody to say, hey, I'll be the one, well, how about we do this? Or can we do this? Versus, you know, leaders have to be the ones trying to figure everything out. And here's the other piece. You know, I tell employees, yeah, everybody wants to be a leader. You want the good benefits, you want the title, you want the pay, but not everybody wants responsibility. So with the same thing with leaders. Now, you've got the title, you got the pay, you've got the responsibility. Figure it out.
Yeah.
If not, ask for help. And so I think there's that duality between the two.
Asking for help, that was one that I struggled with, but I love the African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Go together.
I feel like we could talk about this for hours, and I'm very happy and glad that you shed some light on HR, because it's not the scary person HR
right.
department. They're there to help, and they're both there to help both, right? The company and the individuals. And so thank you for shedding some light.
Yeah.
This has been a great conversation.
Thank you.
And I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you need to find out, tell us a little bit before we leave where they can find more information about you and your organization.
Yeah, you can definitely connect with me on LinkedIn. But our website is PCG, Paul Charles George, HR.net, or VikitaPoindexter.com. We have an 800 number, 800-866-608-5556. Reach out anytime.
Look at that. All right. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time on Leadership Evolving. I'm your host, Carlos Martin. Till next time. All right.
All right.
Nice. How's your hand?
It's a little sore, but.